What happens when the most protected woman in America finds herself utterly vulnerable, deep in hostile territory, with only a broken soldier between her and death? Anna Hackett's The Hero She Wants throws us into this exact scenario, where Hayden Sinclair, archaeologist and presidential daughter, discovers that sometimes survival requires more than Secret Service protection. It demands trust in a scarred stranger who spent years running from human connection. This isn't your typical damsel in distress tale. It's a visceral exploration of two damaged souls finding wholeness in the least likely place, each other's arms, amid bullets and betrayal. Hayden Sinclair lives caught between authenticity and expectation. At a Nicaraguan dig site, she feels genuinely alive, uncovering ancient secrets. But her Secret Service detail reminds her she's never truly free. Always the president's daughter first, archaeologist second. Then armed men storm the site. Hayden watches helplessly as Maria, her friend and protector, falls to gunfire. Suddenly, she's a political bargaining chip worth millions. Shepard, Shep Barlow, has built his existence around avoiding entanglement. Haunted by comrades lost in Afghanistan, he's chosen isolation over connection. When his former commanding officer requests help for an off-the-books rescue, every instinct screams refusal, yet something compels him to say yes. Shep drops into the Nicaraguan jungle expecting a pampered princess. Instead, he finds Hayden already fighting for freedom, resourceful and resilient in ways that challenge his assumptions. "I don't need you to like me," he growls, pulling her through dense underbrush. "Just keep up and stay alive." "Don't worry about me," she fires back. Neither realizes this forced partnership will demolish every wall they've constructed. Fleeing deeper into the wilderness, danger creates unexpected intimacy between them. They communicate through glances and gestures, their survival dependent on perfect synchronization. When they pause in a hidden clearing, Hayden's composure cracks. Tears for Maria, for the violence witnessed, for the uncertain future. Shep watches her grief with recognition, knowing this weight, carrying similar losses. His awkward comfort means more than elaborate condolences. Drifting down a jungle river, unwelcome memories surface. Shep replays faces of troops lost in Afghanistan, while Hayden hears Maria's laugh, now forever silenced. "Sometimes the memories are worse than the actual danger," she whispers. "The danger ends," he responds quietly. "The memories don't." Their shared understanding creates an invisible thread between them. Peace shatters when Shep detects movement along the riverbank. Moments later, they're submerged beneath murky water as gunmen prowl above. His arm circles her waist, anchoring her as danger passes overhead. When her lungs burn and panic flickers, his steady gaze calms her, a promise of protection. Emerging gasping, the shared experience has forged something unspoken yet undeniable between them. The impulsive kiss hangs between them, unacknowledged yet impossible to ignore. Shep maintains focus on survival, though his gaze flickers to her lips before deliberately looking away. "We'll move through the night," he decides. "The storm will provide cover." When rain pounds mercilessly, they reach a cramped tent. Hypothermia poses real danger. "We need to get out of these wet clothes," Shep states, tension threading his voice. In the confined space, Hayden catches glimpses of scars, telling stories of past violence. Wrapped in an emergency blanket, forced proximity breaks conversational barriers. Hayden shares her passion for archaeology, the freedom she feels away from Washington's political spotlight. Shep reciprocates with fragments: foster care, finding purpose in the military, losses that drove him to isolation. As night deepens, boundaries thin with each shared confidence. Morning light filters through jungle foliage as they approach bluefields, each step bringing them closer to safety, yet further from the bubble containing their growing connection. When the satellite phone connects, Shep arranges extraction with military efficiency. Hayden listens, catching glimpses of his former life through his easy rapport with someone named Ren. The beachfront safe house offers stark contrast. Airy rooms, modern amenities, rhythmic waves, yet Shep remains hyper-vigilant, methodically checking windows and exits. "You can relax a little," Hayden suggests. His response is clipped. "Safety is relative and temporary." Communication with command brings complications. Iranian operatives in Nicaragua threaten extraction. The news intensifies Shep's protective stance, his mission now competing with personal motivations he's reluctant to acknowledge. As evening approaches, confined space amplifies unresolved tension. Hayden confronts his withdrawal. "You're building walls. I thought we were past that." "This isn't a romance novel, Hayden," he responds harshly. "I'm here to do a job, get you home safely, that's it." But the words lack conviction, contradicted by the heat in his eyes. "Is that really all this is to you?" she challenges. "A job?" The argument exposes raw nerves, Shep's fear of attachment after losing so many, Hayden's frustration with being treated as mission cargo. "I'm not asking you to save me anymore," she finally says. "I'm asking you to see me." Seeking relief, Hayden plunges into the ocean, each stroke channeling frustration, while her mind circles back to their undeniable connection. When she returns to shore, he's watching from the beach, expression unreadable. The sight of him, strong, damaged, desperately fighting his attraction, propels Hayden toward decision. "I'm tired of pretending," she says, water streaming from her hair. "Aren't you?" The directness breaks through his defenses. "This isn't smart," Shep warns, even as his body betrays desire. "There's no future in this." "I'm not asking for forever," Hayden counters. "I'm asking for now." Their surrender transcends the physical. It's recognition of something essential they found in each other. For Hayden, it's claiming her own desires outside public identity's constraints. For Shep, it's an unexpected reopening of his heart after years of isolation. As dawn illuminates Hayden's sleeping form, Shep watches her with unfamiliar warmth that both comforts and terrifies. For someone who spent years building walls, this connection threatens everything he thought he knew about himself. The desperate dash to the jet becomes a gauntlet of gunfire and explosions. Shep instinctively shields Hayden, his protective instinct now inseparable from deeper emotions. When he discovers she's been grazed by a bullet, cold fury ignites within him. "I'm fine," Hayden insists, through blood-stained clothing. As Iranian operatives join the pursuit, a tender moment crystallizes, Shep's fear for Hayden transcending his usual stoic control. "We're getting out of this," she states with surprising calm, "both of us." Days after extraction, Shep awakens in military sickbay to devastating news. Hayden was forcibly removed by Secret Service, sedated when she refused to leave his side. In Washington, though physically safe, her thoughts constantly return to Shep. When he finally decides to find her, she appears unexpectedly at his door. Their reunion is electric, all held back emotions flooding out in passionate embrace. "I love you," Hayden declares boldly. "I don't care how complicated it makes things." Shep's response, a promise to marry her, marks the final transformation of someone who once believed himself incapable of deep connection. Sometimes the greatest rescue isn't from physical danger, but from the prisons we build inside ourselves. Hayden and Shep each carried their own chains, hers forged from expectation and public identity, his from loss and self-imposed isolation. Vulnerability isn't weakness. It's the courage to be seen fully, scars and all. We often choose safety over connection, protection over possibility. But what if the very thing we're running from, genuine human intimacy with all its messy complications, is exactly what we need to become whole? Love doesn't always arrive on our timeline or in our preferred package. Sometimes it shows up in a jungle, demanding we trust when trust feels impossible. The question isn't whether we'll face danger, we will. The question is whether we'll face it alone or find someone worth fighting beside, worth surrendering our carefully constructed walls to finally, beautifully, let in.